Morning, we are continuing in our series on Galatians. There is one word to sum up the letter to the Galatians, that would be freedom. If there were three words, it would be freedom in Christ. And I don't know about you, but in my walk with the Lord, there's been times where I've been really free and times where not so much. And it's so easy, apparently, it always has been, for us to slip in. It's easy for the Galatians to kind of get tricked back into not being free anymore. And for them, the temptation was to go back to the law and picking it up, or going back to Phil shared this, the law part of chapter 3 last week. Before we do that, I'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would continue to speak to us this morning. And that you know what we need to hear, Lord. And thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Jesus. Amen. So Paul had this to say, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So Pastor Phil shared about how the law for the Jews, it was like a schoolmaster, a tutor. And before the law of Moses was the promise to Abraham. That God promised to Abraham that he was going to send, God was going to send through Abraham's line, Messiah. And God was going to do it. And so that's the promise that Abraham held on to. That's the promise that God's people held on to. And then God gave the law, kind of like a tutor, a schoolmaster, a teacher, a guardian, to show them how to live. And if they would have got that right, we wouldn't have a need for a Savior. Just imagine if it was possible, if we actually obeyed all 10 commandments, what our culture would look like. Imagine if we were able to just treat others the way we want to be treated. Imagine if none of us ever stole anything or coveted each other's stuff. We have no need for locks on our doors. We lived for a while up in rural White Mountains of Arizona. And I think for 5 years, we never locked our door. But I locked my door here. But if none of us ever gave in to the temptation of violence or stealing, we wouldn't need the criminal justice system at all. It would be utopia. It would be the way things were before the fall. It would be how we're meant to live with each other if we could just keep the rules. The problem is, we can't. On our own strength, we just can't keep the law. As good as the law is, I just don't obey all the laws. Show of hands, who built the speed limit? He goes, it's not. So, when the time was right, God did something. He sent the Messiah. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And then he says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. So when Jesus came, he leveled the playing field. So now now there's no class, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. We're all the same at the foot of the cross. He leveled the playing field. And so that changes things. And then he gives us, so that's under the guardian picture, what the law was. And now Paul changes gears a little bit, and he gives us a different picture. And this is what he says. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. So the picture Paul gives is a young boy in a wealthy home, and the boy is underage, and so even though one day he'll inherit everything, for now, or until the time is right, his life, his rights, they're just the same as a slave would be. And so Paul is saying this to Jewish believers, and they're saying, wait a second, we're not slaves. We read our history, Paul. We were under bondage to Egypt, and God delivered us from slavery. And Paul says, well, actually, you're not free. You're not living free. And he's going to go on to explain what the freedom looks like. So Jews were under bondage to the law, but the Gentiles were slaves to something as well. What Paul calls elemental spiritual forces, or spiritual principles of this world. And so if the Jews were slaves to trying to keep the rules, the Gentiles were slaves to idols. They were slaves to things that they created with their own hands, and then somehow in their mind, if they cried out to this thing that they created, that thing, whatever it was, would save them. And before we get too judgmental about them, we've got to look at our own idols. I've had lots of idols over my life. So I can tell lots of stories. But one story that came to mind was we had a family van. And the deal was, I was going to sell our van and buy a truck. And then whatever money I had left over, I would get a guitar. And so I sold the van, and I bought the cheapest truck, the oldest truck. It was a Datsun. It was a yellow Datsun pickup. It just barely made it home. But I bought a truck, and I had whatever money was left over. I was going to buy a really nice guitar, which I did. And it saved me. If only I had the best guitar, and of course it's a Taylor. And if I just had the right guitar, my life would be complete. And it was for about a week. I loved my guitar. And so one night we were in worship practice. And my guitar was on a stand. It's nice that it's right in the center. I'm not saying it's the worst thing with guitar, but see how it's right in the center. So there's my guitar. And my friend tripped over a mic cord, and one of these mic stands, it was slow motion. And I was too far to, I almost dove. But in slow motion, it just heavy microphone and then just crashed into the front of my guitar. And it still has a nice ding in it. And wood filler. In my guitar, nice little wood filler. And
of saying, do you love me or do you love your guitar more? I really love my guitar. But it's been kind of a steady learning one after another of my idols that anything that I put as that I go to for comfort, anything that I go to that gets me through the night other than the Lord, becomes my idol. And the reason that God, Scripture speaks of God as the jealous God, is not to let us have idols, is because he knows nothing else is going to get us through the night other than him. I could tell you a story of I love, and I still would like, and I still am jealous for those who have really a nice VW bus. And I can tell you a story of the night that that got told. And it was just one thing after another that I had to, and I'm better now than I used to be whenever I fall in love with something and I have to have it. I've learned enough times, I've had enough things that I can appreciate stuff and love people, but any time I find myself giving myself over to something or someone other than the Lord, it doesn't take long for that thing to be exposed for what it is to idol. And the Lord wants us free for our sake to follow him. And so, what does it mean to not be enslaved, not just to try to keep the rules or to idols, but these elemental spiritual forces of the world? If you could sum up the whole New Testament, probably Galatians 4:4-6 would do it. And it's an amazing passage. He says, but when the time set had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So we're no longer slaves, we're adopted as children, sons and daughters. And because you are his sons, Thank you.
of faith.